Session number 5868 is the Heisen Mandate, Reel 19.
On the other side of this tape, I told you about the German that brought a photograph of the grave of one of our comrades. Well, now, on that photograph, the grave was covered with flowers, a mass of flowers. And he also told me that always the children of the village kept flowers on it. So that was a very nice thought from the children. Kindness different altogether than the grown-ups. Well, now, I better tell you now about what carried on from that. It was the days, the weeks, the months kept going by, and still no parcels, Red Cross, no letters from home, and we began to get just a little bit down the dumps, and we were scruffy, clothes worn out, and getting very, very low. And about that time I began to pick up the German lingo fairly well, so that I could converse with them to a certain extent, make each other understand. Well, now the postman in charge, the German in charge, he began to show what he was, a savage, cruel man. I'll tell you some of the things he got up to. I told you before that he was friendly with that lady across the street and her brother. Well, when he was in the mood, he'd come across and bring them both across the road to the lager. Well, it was a large yard where we was, and of course at the end of the day we used to stand or sit about in the yard, all the different nationalities, prisoners, and he would come wandering in when he was in the mood, and he always carried a stick and a revolver. Always had that revolver with him. He had this stick, and he'd walk about with this girl and this chap in the yard, and because as we stood there in bunches or talking to one another, well, whatever you'd done, you perhaps had a laugh or a joke or a shout or whatever it might be, well, he took the opportunity, used to do, take the opportunity of thinking we was on about him. And he had a short moustache, and he used to blow it out and come across to anyone who we thought was taking the mickey out of him, but of course we wasn't. And he'd get this stick and he'd give anybody a wallop or two, a real clout. And this girl used to laugh, thought he was a big hero. Well, now, poor old Yorkie, he used to cop it. Now, Yorkie was one of the best turns we got. Didn't matter what happened, he was always in trouble. And he had a very funny attitude. Whenever old Jerry used to get at him, Yorkie had an attitude of standing straight up, put both hands on his hips, and look him straight in the face, as good as to say, "Who the hell do you think you are?" That was the attitude. Well, 'cause Jerry couldn't stand that, he used to wallop poor old Yorkie summit awful. Well, now, he always copped a packet. Well, now, here's another cruel thing he done. I told you then we were locked in the cellars. Well, whilst we was locked in there in the morning, you used to come up the steps out of the cellar and into the open yard, or where we got our food and that sort of thing. And old Jerry, this postman, used to stand at the top of the stairs, and he had his revolver with him and a stick. And as you come up, every two or three, he'd let three or four go by, and then he used to amuse himself with give one of them a good old wallop with his stick. He done it, he was simply a cruel man. He used to do that, but it's a million to one, poor old Yorkie, when he come up, he had a wallop. And as Yorkie used to say, if I got that bugger at Hartlepool, He said, I'd eat him. Anyway, he used the copper packet. Well, now, that happened very, very often. Now, one of the cruelest things that I ever knew him do, he got that girl there and this kid, and so there's a large forest, very large forest joining the village. Well, that's where they got all the timber from to export to England. All the soft timbers used to come from the Baltic. Well, that was collected in that forest. Well, now, someone had caught a fox and give it this postman. Well, that just amused him. He got this fox, had a long rope, he tied it to a pole in the yard, and he got all us there. We was all in the yard watching. He got this girl and this kid in there, and he tied this fox up, and then he had this stick, and he used to taunt the fox, and when the fox flew at him, he used to belt it, knock it down, and the fox used to crawl back, and then he'd tease it till it flew again. And that's the sort of capter he carried on with. Well, now, oh dear, oh dear, we did get pretty low, but it don't matter. I've told you before, a low ever an Englishman gets, you'll never knock hell out of him. And we'd got very, very low. No parcels. We used to scrounge for food, or steal it if possible. Look in dustbins, see if we could find a bit of dry bread or anything. And we wandered round the village when we was at work and perhaps catch a bit of food. But I may tell you something about tales about that later. Well, now, that carried on. Finally, the tide had to turn. And it did turn. Thank God, thank the Red Cross. It turned. Now, one day, we was all back in the yard at night, and I told you, I was acting as an interpreter there for him, then, and a London chap, old Rodney. His parents kept a pub in London somewhere. Well, me and Rodney used to act as interpreters, and when I was out and he was in, well, old Jerry used to send for him in case he wanted to tell us anything. And this particular night, we was all in the yard. Old Jerry come out, the poster, come out and call me up the steps into his office. Well, when I got in the office, oh hell, there was a great big bag there marked on it, GPO London, Bern, Switzerland, and round the floor stacked up in heaps. Parcels, lovely parcels, well, I'll tell you about those later. Stack of parcels, heap of letters, oh, blimey. I ran out in the yard, I told the chaps, I says, oh, hell, I said, we're touched at last. I said, there's a load of parcels come. Well, we went in, we all barged in, and this old Jerry kicked him out, get outside, and he made us go in one at a time to collect these parcels. Well, some had got one, two, some had got three. See, they had accumulated coming across, all across from England to Bern in Switzerland, and then on to Dolman in Westphalia, and then from Dolman to Eelsburg in East Prussia, and then from Eelsburg out onto the commandos in villages. Well, that's how they got there. Well, we collected the parcels up, oh, we was excited. And the letters, we had them. Well, old Jerry issued the parcels out, one each with your names on. He called the names out and dished them out, blimey, like a kids at a Sunday school party, dished them out. But the letters he couldn't manage, he'd give the lot to us. Well, we took them outside, and here's a strange thing. We'd been starving all those months and months starving, and no one touched the parcel until I'd opened and read the letters. Now, you wouldn't credit that. Hungry as we was, we all opened the letters first to see what was the news was. And then, oh, blimey, ain't they come, the stuff in them. The tablets of soap, well, it was a warm evening, getting towards autumn. It was warm and hot, and we stripped stark naked, got buckets of water, had these tablets of soap and washed down and cleaned and scrubbed ourselves. All were beautiful. And then we started on the food. Well, now, in the parcels, each parcel had a chit in it. And the chit, it would give all the contents of the parcel. Also, a card, a Red Cross card, which you had to sign and return to England to say that you'd accepted it. And anything that was missing, or would we like anything different? Well, now, tomorrow, when Ashley comes to put me a new tape on, and I'll get him to read to you the contents of those parcels. I'll try now to describe what actually happened with Red Cross parcels. Now, everyone had the same. It didn't matter if you was a millionaire or a pauper or a poor labourer's son or anything. Everyone had exactly the same parcel. Now, you had 6 grocery parcels and 4 bread parcels. But the bread parcels, unfortunately, the first lot we had, the bread had gone mouldy, but they altered that and put in the place some very small, like small buns. And what you had to do, you just dip them in the water, put them on a stove, and warmed them up, and they turned into a into a large white bread. That were beautiful. Well, now, as I say, everyone had exactly the same, and it didn't matter who it was. But this is what happened from the British end. If you had friends, then of course your friends would send it. But they didn't send it themselves. They had to finance it through the Red Cross. So that in case I had one on one occasion anyway, from me mates in the body shop of Wolverton Works, it said on the packet, parcel, from workmates of the body shop Wolverton Works. Well, that parcel was exactly the same as if there had been no name on it whatever. And everyone had the same. Well, now, after a little while, I had a letter come from Lady Leon. Now, Lady Leon of Bletchley Park, at that time, they were bankers, millionaires. And I had a letter from her saying that her gardener's son was a prisoner of war, had I met him. And in future, she said, I shall be your godmother for parcels. Well, now, I had 4 out of the 6 parcels that I received was marked from Lady Leon, and the other 2, of course, was ordinary, with no name on them, put it that way. But they was no different to anyone else, but she financed those through the Red Cross. Now, we had clothing parcels just the same. They was from your regiment. But every 3 months, every quarter, you was allowed what they call a private parcel. And there was, it stipulated there, but there mustn't be any food in it. and they could come from your mother, your father, or your relative. And they was addition to the ordinary routine. But I could send you perhaps, well, I don't know what to say hardly, but other, say a brush and comb, hair comb, brush or something. But anything other than the routine. Well, I'm blowed if I know. I keep cough. I don't know whether it's old age. I ain't very old. I'm only nearly 86 and blind. So perhaps that has something to do with it. But now I'm going to wander off now to something different. It might upset some people. I don't know whether it will, and I can't say I worry a lot whether it will or not. Now, there's a difference. British. I told you what we had. All those parcels, food, clothing, everything. That's the British. Now, in the lager, the next lot I'll put as French, the Frenchmen. Now, they had a parcel now and again. Not a lot, now and again. One or two perhaps a month, might be three. But they... Now, the others, the Romanians, I don't think they had one at all. I can't remember. They may have had one or two. Italian, French. French had perhaps one or two, as I say. Now, all the crater Russians never had a single parcel while I was there. And all the parcels that they received came privately. Not, they came, of course, through the Red Cross. Everything had to come through the Red Cross. But none of their parcels was like ours, organized. Now, that's the difference. Well, now, going back to the olden days, I'm going to wander, I don't care what the hell they say. I'm going to tell you the truth. When I was a lad, and when we was young, we was patriotic. The whole of the use of the nation rushed to join the colours because they believed in us. We rode the waves, practically ruled the world, you could say that. The sun never set on the British Empire. Britannia ruled the waves. Now then, was it worth it? There's your difference. We had everything. They had nothing. What would happen today? I'll leave you to judge that. What would happen today? Now all those goody-goody people, they've given all their colonies away. They was all coined. They give them away. We was ever so kind. They give the lot away. Now you take today. What will happen? If the same conditions prevail, prisoners of war together, do you think the Russian prisoners wouldn't have had a thing? Or do you think we should have still had the lot? No. No, I'll bet we'd be like them, or perhaps worse than they would be. That's just the difference in the olden days that I remember it. Well, now I've had a real good moan. And I know I'm right. But never mind that. Now I'll start and tell you some of the experiences. I told you, we had all those parcels. We had lovely clothing parcels. Shoes, real leather army shoes, which they couldn't buy that. Real leather army shoes, army uniform, a beautiful blue uniform, trousers, tunic, very much like the full dress uniform, a peak cap. We looked real smart and was well fed. Now I'll tell you what a little tale that happened. I told you about that old boy at the hotel. that he kicked me off the path, made me salute him, and I got in trouble over him. Well, now here's the difference. Well, I was walking down the street one day, some time after, when I was well clothed, well fed. I was walking down the street and I saw him coming along the pavement. So I thought, oh. Well, just before I got to him, I stepped off into the road. I gave him one of our best military salutes, as smart as I could. Oh, he said, no, 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 he said. I thought, hello. He called me to him. Don't salute me. I began to understand the lingo then. Don't salute me, he said. That's all right, that's all right. Hello. He said, that's all right. He said, oh, he said, I believe, he said, you have parcels. I said, yeah, we do. Oh, he said, because he knew we did. I said, yeah. He said, well, he said, do you have cocoa in your parcels? I said, oh, yes. He knew. I said, oh, yes. Oh, he said, my wife, he said, is very, very ill. He said, now, would you let me have just a little of your cocoa? It'll do her a world of good. Oh, no, I said, no. I said, because we are very weak, you know. I said, we want what we have in our parcels. I thought, bugger you. Now, that's how the tide turned. I told you in earlier tapes that we went from a tramp to a king. Now, you know what I mean by that. And by God, we was tramps, just scrounging, not much more than animals. And so the tide had turned. And from then, we gradually moved up and worked in the village. We was noticed and even looked up to, never mind anything else. In our little bunch of nine, three of them were Scotchmen. Now, there was one of them, I think his name was Souster, some name like that. I forget the names after all these years. Now, he was in the kilted regiment. He got his kilt. Now, here's something that should be admired by his regiment. He got his kilt, and when he was captured, they took his kilt off, gave him some trousers, naturally, prisoner of war, so as he looked something decent. And they took his kilt away, he had it, they gave it him back, and all the time we was there, and all through the different hardships, he would never get rid of that kilt. They offered him things. They even offered him bread and food, but no, he'd never get rid of that. So I think that's very something to be very proud of for that regiment. What it was, I don't know, but it was one of the kilty regiments, and oh, blimey, didn't he stick to that, and he hung on to it. And at the end, when we came home, he put it in his old bag and away he come home, and he would never let it go. And he wouldn't even unfold it to show us. And more than anything else, he wouldn't get rid of it. He can't find a clothing parcel just at present. But as I've already told you, there's underclothes, all clothes of all sorts. Well, now that's the contents of grocery. And we have four grocery parcels, two bread parcels a month, and then half yearly the clothing, or whatever it is under clothing. We soon began to miss things out of the parcels, and we had a faint idea that old Jerry, the postman, was pinching the stuff, but we couldn't prove it. Well, after a little while later, there was one of our chaps working round the back of the house where his bit of stuff lived. And there he found a load of tins, which was taken from our parcels. Well, we didn't know how we could get at him. We knew he was terrified of the Western Front, but how we could get at him, we couldn't think. But after a little while, we decided that I was to see if I could find a representative from the Red Cross from Switzerland. Make out I did. So I had a freelance in the village almost then. I was working with a village carpenter. Well, on this particular day, I told old Roddy, him and I worked it together. I told Roddy, I shan't be home till late. Well, this carpenter, when we finished work at night, he said, all right, pack up. I said, well, I'll stop behind, I'll finish this little job. I said, you go home, I won't be long. Well, he went, and I stayed about an hour and a half. Well, when I got back to the lager, because old Jerry, they was all there bar me. So when I got back, Jerry sent for me. He said, where was you? I said, I was ever so busy. I said, I stopped and finished the job that I was doing. Well, of course I did. He could have told him that, but no. Old Jerry, they're like a bloody cat. I'll find out, we knew that. So he sent for Roddy the next day. He says, where was Dermundi yesterday? And he always used to call me Dermundi. He said, where was he yesterday? Roddy said, oh, he said, I hadn't ought to tell you. But he said he ran into one of the representatives from Bern, Switzerland, Red Cross. He said, and he'd been to the main camps to see how things was going with the Red Cross parcels. He'd been to Eelsburg, and then he decided he'd have a look round at the different commandos. They call them commandos. And he ran into Mundy and asked him if things was missing. He said, yes. He said, well, he said, put it on your card, what's missing, when you return it. Well, you had a card in each parcel. And he said, tell him to put it on that. He said, and if it's don't stop, he said, and it's not missing at Eelsburg or at the railway station, he said, well, it may be at your camp, where you are, the lager. He said, and if that is so, he said, we'll have that man taken away. He'd be sent back to the Western Front and replaced. Well, do you know, blimey, old Roddy told him this tale. And do you know, the next week or two later, and he told him, he said, they're nothing whatever to do with the posting. He said, those parcels, mailbag, must be collected by you, not him. He said, and he must let you know when they're at the station and you'll fetch them. Well, do you know, later, the next lot come, old Jerry sent for me. He said, oh, he said, there's a mailbag at the station. He said, you go and collect it. So me and old Roddy had a truck out the yard, and away we went and collected a parcel. Well, do you know, ever after that, we had no trouble at all. We used to collect them, dish them out among ourselves, whoever they were for. But old Jerry never saw one, never touched it. But it fripped the life out of him. We knew it would, because he was frightened to death to go back to the front. I bet his girlfriend missed her dinner with boiled spuds and no meat, or no bacon, tin bacon, none of that, no tin meat, or even a wash in a nice piece of real soap. I'll bet she felt the difference, but I can tell you this, they never had a single thing more out of our parcels that finished them.